It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Football Friday.
Football.
I love it.
Thanks
to everybody partying on YouTube, youtube.com/1080amthefan and twitch.tv/1080amthefan. Also, thanks for listening. AM 1080, 99.5 HD2 and the Odyssey app. You can take in the show everywhere. And Jeff Russ puts the podcast up right there in the Odyssey app. You can just go boop. Anything you want right there. All right, hour number two. Let's go to a little college foosball. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about Cam Rising and his return. Vegas isn't buying it. Vegas is saying, not so fast, my friend. The betting line swung 5 points in one day in most sports books. And right now, it is all over the place as we have a top 25 matchup between the number 12 Utah Utes and the number 14 Oklahoma State Cowboys tomorrow in Stillwater. Wednesday night, Utah was a 2.5 point favorite. Thursday night, Oklahoma State was a 2.5 point favorite. Now, depending on where you look, I went and checked all of the major books. It is split right down the middle as of right now. You can find Utah minus one, Oklahoma State minus one, in about half the books that are out there. That tells me Vegas isn't buying Utah starting Cam Rising this
They're
week.
They're also not buying Zach Wilson's little brother.
No.
Have you seen Isaac Wilson? The backup for Utah?
No.
He looks like a clone of Zach Wilson.
Well, is it like Zach Wilson's brother?
Yeah, no, it is.
No.
Yeah, no, he looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's Zach Wilson's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Corner Canyon High School. Mm-hmm. That's him. Brother Zach played at BYU.
It's just kind of crazy.
I wouldn't either because I've seen Utah without Cam Rising.
It's not good. And then Cam Rising is what makes that offense go. And you can talk about all of the different weapons they have and they have every year at Utah. But what makes the weapons viable is Cam Rising.
Yeah. I remember, though, last year, and this is probably playing into it a lot. Do you remember the Willie won't he last year of Cam Rising? Where Whittingham kept coming over the top and saying, we might see him. And that was like 5 weeks in a row. And it finally got squashed. Like,
He was trying to drag it out. I mean, yeah. I respect it.
And so that's exactly what we're seeing right here with Rising. The only difference here is that we had a receiver earlier, like on Monday or Tuesday, say Rising looked good, like he looked like he was fine. And then Whittingham was like, it's kind of trending that direction. But obviously, and this is what Vegas does. They find out.
They've got sources.
They got their moles everywhere. Yeah. And they find out, and we saw a massive line change in that. Money came in heavy on Oklahoma State. And if Cam Rising doesn't play in that game, that loses all of its muster for me.
Oh, God, yes.
Utah offense is unwatchable right now. And look, Wilson is a freshman, so we take that into account. But we know how different they are Cam Rising is
Money Parks, Brant Keithy, Dorian Singer, the former Arizona / former USC, now Utah wide receiver. But you're hard pressed to find like more capable weapons, I think, in most of college football. Now, the very top of college football, you find more. But like, as far as like having a number one wide receiver, a number one tight end, another deep threat, and then a multitude of running backs that Utah has every single year, they have dudes.
Yeah.
But what makes it all viable is Cam Rising's ability to play make on the fly, to extend plays, to use his legs, to keep you guessing so that it's not even a trickeration kind of thing. It's not even just a matter of, you know, dressing up the pig. He is just the engine that makes them go.
He's a gamer.
Yeah.
And he has seen, well, he's in his seventh year now, he's seen it all.
Yeah.
And he's a cool hand behind center, and he makes that offense tick. And it is so apparent when he is on the field. And look, it's incredible that, I know how bad Utah State is, and Utah State is really bad. But that game was closer than, I mean, it would have been an absolute blowout.
I mean, they were
if
blowing
Rising
their,
played.
Yeah, I mean, they're blowing their doors off, and then Rising leaves the game, and it was like, oh no.
I don't think he didn't play in that game, did he?
Oh, it was week two that he left. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He left against Baylor.
Yeah, but they were blowing their doors off, and then it got tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you saw exactly what happened.
And right now, I love Utah. I love Kyle Whittingham. I think he's the best coach in college football. I mean it. Because it's not the talent that he acquires. It's what he does with the players he has. And I don't know if there is a coach in college football that does more than Kyle Whittingham does with his guys. He squeezes every single ounce out of that roster every damn year. I mean, if you're looking at a coach and what the coach's responsibility is, mm-hmm. like, first of all, recruit. But if you have Kalen DeBoer, he does it with a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. And I think Kalen DeBoer is one of the best coaches of squeezing talent out of guys. Mm-hmm. But he did it with an immense amount of talent up at Washington. He's doing it again at Alabama right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've seen him win games, do more with less at Fresno State and when he was the offensive coordinator at Indiana. These guys that recruit at a really high level and mm-hmm. win at a really high level, they're not doing what Kyle Whittingham is even doing.
He's taking two and three star guys and even no star guys, and not only turning them into viable college football players, he's taking guys that are vastly underrated and turning them into NFL talent.
Yeah, his eye for talent and his valuation of talent, mm-hmm. he and his entire staff yep. is second to none in college football. They do a phenomenal job.
It's probably the best development staff in college football.
And look, Mike Gundy. He's got the mullet. He says some crazy s.
He's a hell of a coach.
Drink thousands of beers and drive. Like he said, he does a pretty damn good job of doing mm-hmm. the exact same thing at Oklahoma State too. And that's why if Cam Rising is in the lineup, I'm in on.
Oh,
that
this
game.
Is a great game.
I'm in on that game 10 times out of 10. But Cam Rising and his status being in flux, I might be a little out. What did your USC Trojans do? What? Did you see their tweet?
No, God, no.
Did you see their tweet?
No. What now?
They were heading out to Michigan for their game, and USC tweeted, "The Trojans are headed to Big Ten country," with a video of their team playing. They are Big Ten country. They are in the Big Ten. The literally, LA is Big Ten country now.
Hmm.
Hopefully this is the only L USC takes this weekend, but it's not off to a great start, Danny.
Don't like it. Don't like it.
They forget that they left the Pac-12?
Well, I mean, I think you're heading into Big Ten country when you say that. Like, the only way I can say that is, you know, like, Ohio State, Penn State.
Don't, no, Michigan, don't do
like
this.
Wisconsin.
Are you
no.
stupid or something?
The Big Ten is now from the Pacific Ocean
sure.
to the Atlantic Ocean.
But also, when you say that, this is your first Big Ten road game.
but they are Big Ten country.
I'm just saying.
It's your first Big Ten game.
It's the first Big Ten game. It's your first Big Ten yep. road game. So I'll as long as it's just this one time. This is the one time you can say that.
No, it's not.
It's the one time.
Can't even do it now. Don't defend the indefensible here. They do head to Ann Arbor, though. We have a top 25 matchup in numbers alone. Michigan has had their warts, and we have seen offensively anemic is a very kind word to explain what they've done on the offensive side of the football. They've turned to Alex Orji at quarterback, and they hope that they can just pound the ball down USC's throat. On the flip side of this, like, everything in my brain and everything that I've seen has said USC has been really damn impressive in every phase. Through the first two games, they have looked the part on the defensive side of the football, and we know what Lincoln Riley does on offense. And the scary part, Zach Branch has not been a big focal point of their offense.
Eight catches, 78 yards through two games. And the thing that I've heard multiple national college football folks say is that, look, is USC back, quote-unquote? Unsure about that, but it's definitely their defense is the single most improved unit in the country. And I don't really think that's up for a debate, because they were, by most measures, one of the three worst defensive units in the country. Not like in, you know, the Pac-12 or in the Big Ten or no, in the country. They were that bad. And the biggest,
they couldn't tackle.
And it was, and the biggest thing is, I can't remember who I was listening to, highlighted this via the, you know, just looking at the tape of the first two games. It's a simplification of what Danton Lynn has done, but the biggest thing is it's been leverage to the ball. Where, go back, the Oregon-USC game last year is such a specific example that stands out, is that how often was USC one-on-one defensively in space?
All game long.
All game long. And what they have done through two games and what they look stylistically is their leverage on the ball is significantly better. Mm-hmm. They are not in positions where it's not that that tackling is so much better. It is better by every measure. It is better. But part of that is bringing in new personnel, but also defensively they are set up in so much more sound, in that there is always two guys at the bleeping ball.
Yep.
Always. You are, and in the few instances, particularly against LSU, where they wasn't, you had guys like Kamari Ramsey who were making fantastic one-on-one tackles on the edge, whether it was Mascarenhas, whether it was Ramsey, whether it's Mason Cobb. Like, you just had guys making the make-or-break plays on third downs, where those third downs, they weren't just going for 4 yards or 5 yards and keeping drives going. They were back-breaking explosives that went for 20, 30, 40, or even touchdowns regularly against them.
I will be very interested to watch this game, because we know what Michigan's going to try to do.
They're going to put them in a phone booth and try to beat the hell out of them.
And that has been a style that USC has not liked to play. They don't, that is something that they've been soft.
It's been 15 years.
They have been one of the softest teams in college football. They don't look like that through the first two weeks. They didn't against coming out of the gate against LSU, and they sure as heck didn't against Utah State, which they just kind of beat the brakes off in week two. They've had a little bit extra time to kind of shore things up. They had a bye last week before starting their Big Ten play and their Big Ten run.
And they don't get a day off during the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to hurt.
Dems the brakes.
Yeah.
But we know that they have improved up front on both sides of the football on their lines, and they've gotten so much better, but they lack depth.
Oh, God. And one that, guy goes down. I mean, Jonah Monheim goes down at center. It's like, oh, no.
Well, on the defensive front is where I'm the most concerned, is like, all right, if Michigan's game plan is we are going to lean on you, we are going to wear you down, we are going to play smash mouth football.
Can Bear Alexander and Anthony Lucas, can they play 70% of snaps?
Do you see the damn break?
Yeah.
And that's the only way Michigan wins this game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I'm not worried.
And somebody doesn't follow their assignment because they're beat up, or it's a young kid that's out there and all of a sudden.
Well, I'm not worried about USC's offense. I'm not worried about USC's offense at all. It is, can Michigan's defense keep them off the field?
Yeah.
And, or Michigan's offense keep them off the field. That to me is where this game is won or lost, because USC will score. They will get their points. Michigan is a better defense than what they've seen, even in the first 2 weeks, even with LSU. But their offense has been atrocious.
It's very bad. It's
Michigan's offense has been
one-dimensional, so bad. Is giving it probably one too many dimensions.
So, with that said, we'll find out. You know, do you know when the last time USC won in the Eastern or Central time zone?
Oh, 2013.
It was 2012.
There you go. Yeah.
2012 is the last time that USC has won in the Central or Eastern time zone. And like you may say, well, yeah, they've been in the Pac-12. Haven't been that long. Well, they play Notre Dame on the road every other year.
Yep.
It's been a long, long time since USC has won back east. It was against Syracuse in 2012. They have eight consecutive losses on the road in Central or Eastern time zones.
They like the sun, man.
They do.
They don't like Syracuse ain't warm.
Yeah.
No, South Bend ain't warm.
No. No. Well, it should be nice.
Should be nice in the,
I mean, it's still early yeah. September in Ann Arbor. Should be all right.
Storm comes out of nowhere.
I don't think you'll get snow. You won't get snow. What's our weather looking like in Ann Arbor tomorrow?
Oh, I think it was like 68 is when I last looked, I think. It was decent.
Oh, shoot. It's 84 degrees there right now.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be a high of 85 tomorrow.
Oh, it's clearing up now.
Yeah. High of 85, low of 57 tomorrow.
They're going to water that field.
They play on turf.
Is that they have turf there?
Yeah, they do. So
how do I picture? Oh, I always have Notre Dame in my head.
Yeah, which also I believe has turf.
They
now.
They switched over to.
Yeah. But hey, things are looking up. Things are looking up for us.
Look, like SC. I said, they win this game. I'm gonna come in here head to toe.
Well, no duh.
Yeah.
No duh. Yeah. It'll be an insufferable Monday.
It will be. Yeah. You know what's funny is I have no beef against Michigan.
None.
Like Michigan was always like my alternate team that I always like, because Charles Woodson's like my favorite non USC college football player.
Hey, here's spin on this. 3-0 in the last three games against Michigan. I mean, all of them have been Rose Bowls. So, but they've won the last three against Michigan. You have their number.
Yeah, but I will pull for anyone when they're playing Ohio State. So I feel like I'm a natural Big Ten fan.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you're fitting right in. And your guys are heading to Big Ten country this weekend.
There we go, for the first time.
All right, there's another game in the SEC top 25 matchup I'm pumped for. Mm. And I think one thing is not getting enough credence in this SEC top 25 tilt. Next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
College game day is going to be in Norman, Oklahoma tomorrow. Weird, Oklahoma is like the epicenter of great college football games this weekend. Both Oklahoma State and Oklahoma have top 25 tilts. But it's the 6th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers going into Norman, taking on number 15 Oklahoma. Tennessee has been insane to start this season.
You know, Nico's getting all the press, but they're running for 300 yards a game.
They don't have – their leading receiver is Dante Thornton, former Oregon Duck, who's the kind of their deep ball guy. But – and they actually have Brew McCoy, I think, is their third leading receiver. So they've got two former Pac-12 guys on there, former Duck, former Trojan. But their rushing attack, Dylan Sampson and Deshaun Bishop, are just pounding the rock.
I mean, running for 8 and 10 yards per carry, respectively.
Yeah. This should not be a surprise to anybody, but Tennessee has won their last 18 consecutive games when they rush for over 200 yards. Pretty good. Run the ball.
I think there's a strong correlation there.
But the thing that's getting overlooked the most, it's not the fact that Tennessee runs the ball down your throat and they're efficient and they average an ungodly amount of yards per carry and yards per play. Their defense is nasty.
Oh, flying around.
Since the AP poll era, so you go back to 1936, there's only been one other team with a better point differential than Tennessee through their first 3 weeks. They are plus 178 in point differential through the first three games. They've outscored their opponents like 191 to 13 or something like that. That's not 178, whatever that is. They have been punishing teams. And their defense has not allowed a touchdown.
No, and a big part of that is
all year.
They've got a linebacker who is a seventh-year linebacker, Keenan Peely. Have you watched the Tennessee much?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have.
He is a number one, he's massive. He's like 6'4", 250. He's an enormous dude. But he also is the guy that gets them into everything.
Yep.
Because much like Cam Rising, he has seen everything.
They've outscored opponents 191 to 13 this season, and the only touchdown that they allowed against North Carolina State was a pick six. And you go
it's
back,
not even their defense.
Yeah, it's not their defense hasn't allowed a touchdown this year. They've won 69-3 against Chattanooga, 51-10 against North Carolina State, 71-0. Over Kent State. And if you take it back one more game, though, this is a trend that we've seen with Tennessee's defense over the last four games. If you go back to their final game last year, they shut out their opponent in the bowl game, too. They haven't allowed a defensive touchdown in four full games. Teams are only converting 15% of third downs against
pretty
them.
Pretty good.
I still don't understand what all the hype is about.
Baker, their defense coordinator, has done an unreal job.
Is that Orange Crush?
They have done... That defense is way better than anybody gives them credit for.
And it's not like that Tennessee doesn't produce NFL dudes on that side of the ball.
No,
like
they
regularly
everywhere.
Are putting guys in the NFL up and down that defense. And I'm really interested in this game, Tennessee-Oklahoma. Less so for Tennessee, because what Tennessee did to North Carolina State was, like, that's the kind of thing that's forbidden.
Beating anybody as bad as they've beaten three opponents in a row is really hard to do.
And it's not like they're beating the Furmans of the world like Ole Miss has done. Like, again, I think Ole Miss is very good, but NC State, look, ACC is crap. We all know it. It is what it is. But they're supposed to be a pretty good team. They were supposed to be a pretty good team, and they demolished them. Not, it wasn't like a little like, oh, you know, they ran away with it a little bit late. No, they put it on them early, often, and didn't stop.
Yep.
That's the kind of thing where you go, oh, this is a really, really good team.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, because I have no questions about Tennessee. I wonder how good Oklahoma is.
Yeah, and we're going to find out. About to find out. That game... It's got a lot of hype. That one's going to fizzle out. That's why I'm more interested if Cam Rising plays in the other game in the state of Oklahoma, Utah and Oklahoma State, because of the fact that you have two really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, if they get mopped...
It's not going to be a surprise, is it?
No, but Tennessee will be propped up by it because Oklahoma is a really good team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are a really good team, but they're not like a college football playoff team in my mind.
No.
But as of right now, I mean, I have no idea what to think of Oklahoma.
Well, I mean, Oklahoma's going to be tested. That's for damn sure. Because they have Tennessee and then they have the Red River Rivalry. Or Georgia, I'm sorry. Was it next week?
No. They go through the stretch of Tennessee at Auburn and then Texas in the Red River Rivalry.
Yeah.
So they've got two of their next three.
Vicious. We will know what Oklahoma is very quickly.
Well... And 3 of 5, because after Texas, you got South Carolina, then you go to Ole Miss. It's a
woof.
And
look, if Oklahoma's still standing with one loss at the end of that, they're for real.
But I don't think they are, because they almost lost a Houston team.
Oh, yeah,
and look, one game isn't indicative of who you are,
Kentucky,
but
Georgia.
They almost lost a Houston team that got waxed by UNLV,
mm-hmm.
you know, the week before. Tulane gave them headaches at times. It was a comfortable win, 34-19.
Sure.
You're not apologizing for that. But Tulane gave them some headaches, which is not Willie Fritz's Tulane, because he's now at Houston, which also gave you issues. So I expect Tennessee to go in there. And the Oklahoma's never a big dog at home. They're a touchdown dog in Norman, which, if you look back, since 1998, they've only been an underdog five times. This is the sixth time since 1998 they've been an underdog at home by any measure. And it's usually a point and a half, 2.5, 3.5. First time since Texas Tech was a 7-point favorite in 1998. I mean, they don't see big lines in Norman because they've been really good
for a really long time.
And when good teams come there, see, when Ohio State came there, that's the last time they were an underdog. 2016, JT Barrett, Ohio State, went to Norman. That Ohio State team was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Sooners were really good. That was Baker Mayfield, right?
Planting flags.
Well, that was at Ohio State.
Yeah,
this one was
right,
at home. And they lost. They got waxed. I think they lost 45-24 to Ohio State in 2016. This is unfamiliar territory for the Sooners. Better get familiar with it,
yeah.
Because the SEC, you're going to get Bama coming. You're going to get Georgia. You're going to get
they have to go on the road
to Ole Miss. No, it isn't. You're not going to have Kansas State and Baylor being those plucky top 25 teams coming in.
Well, speaking of bad teams and bad teams in the Big 12 or in that region, the Cowboys got beat so bad the federal government declared a state of emergency.
Whoa.
That and more today on our Worst Day on the Web. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Call it fortuitous luck or just knowing how things were going to go. FEMA accidentally declared a major disaster for the state of Texas after the Saints-Cowboys game.
Okay.
And no, this is a real thing that happened this past week.
More.
FEMA says the email that it sent out declaring the state of emergency for a major disaster was meant to be for training purposes, but it happened quite literally right after the Cowboys got the living crap kicked out of them 44-19 by the Saints.
What did it read?
The original release said FEMA announced that federal disaster assistance is available to the state of Texas supplement recovery efforts in the areas affected by the New Orleans Saints on September
15th, 2024. Dang. And that... Look, there's some, you don't, why would they think that this is the good one? Because which city in FEMA do we associate the most?
New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean,
Katrina.
Like, read the room a little bit here, folks. Wow. That is brutal, dude.
Mwah! I mean, it could not have gone any better. Christopher
Salas. Or worse for the guy who lost his job because of the test.
Yeah.
Government job. He's probably keeping that.
There's a D.C. correspondent that saw this and replied with I don't know if this is supposed to be sent out internally as a joke, but FINA just sent this to our D.C. bureau. So this wasn't just like shotgun blasts to... Like the Texas test zone.
It was
like the national email list.
Yeah, you hit the wrong button on that one.
You didn't hit the BCC.
Yikes.
Or
bro.
Put in the like for internal use only.
Or just hit the test button. You hit all users and you got to all of them.
This is in the grant, like the fact that it was like a tongue in cheek joke of like, the Cowboys just got the crap kicked out of them, and that they're in emergency. Yeah.
Save that for the playoffs.
But I mean, it is hilarious.
Yeah,
very, very well done.
There, we've had some of these go wildly awry. What was it? A couple of years ago, we had in Hawaii, they did the tsunami one that went. It was a test.
Yeah.
And it looked like a real message, and people freaked out. Wasn't that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what happens in Texas in this case? Does everybody run to the store to grab as many pair of jean shorts as they can?
Yeah. I mean, for a Cowboys loss to the Saints.
Grab your Jordan 12s and jean shorts quickly.
Dang. That's a combo.
Oh, my bad. It was 11s. They were Concords.
I think what you do is you're running out of the Bud Light, because I think of, when I think of the Cowboys, I think of Post Malone doing those Bud Light commercials too. And isn't Emmett Smith in some Bud Light commercials? Mm. Maybe you go get your Troy Aikman beer. Was it 8?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Remember he was suing Lamar Jackson over it.
So you go and you get your Troy Aikman beer and your box of tissues, just like toilet paper. Remember during COVID, toilet paper, hot commodity. I get your tissues and flat screen TVs, because those got broken.
Yeah.
And your Troy Aikman beer.
I like
Maybe you
it.
Get some Alamo. Mm. Get the Alamo beer. And then at that point,
don't go full Alamo.
Lone Star. You call it a day at that.
Oh.
Look at the basement of the Alamo.
What is it? Amberbach? Amberbach's the dark beer that they love down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not familiar.
Yeah.
Not familiar.
I'm not
that.
A dark beerman, so. But I had a bunch of buddies when I was living down there that were from the area. They loved Amberbach.
They're Lone Star, which is not a good beer.
It's dark. Dark beers suck.
Yeah. Well, I like some dark beers. Mm. Well, I'll mess with a dark beer from time to time.
Gross.
Guinness is nice. It
sucks.
No. Guinness, Nitro Guinness,
you do
really
not,
good.
No, you do not. Beer should not be chewable.
No, Guinness is not. Guinness is not one of those thick, heavy ones. It's a very light beer. It's light in alcohol content and in calories.
No, it's nasty. Yeah. Tastes like oil.
Are you sure you've been drinking Guinness?
Yeah, it's nasty.
Are you positive?
Positive.
Well, you drink mojitos, so your palate is on notice.
Mojito.
You know what is kind of tasty, though? A little Black Butte Porter. Do a half and half with that and some Lindeman's Frambois.
Oh.
Yeah, that is a lovely, like, kind of, you know, Christmassy holiday drink.
See, yeah, the Black Butte Porter, I've never been a fan.
I'm not a dark beer guy either.
I don't like that.
I'm not a dark beer guy either, but that is delightful.
All right.
That's like a meal in a cup.
Let's see. Oh, it was, we have P1 Lawrence. Yes. It wasn't a tsunami. It was the nuclear missile launch warning. Yeah, his P1 Lawrence, my bro got that, who is born and raised in Maui. He went out to the beach and said, hell with it. Well, that's one way to do it.
If you're
That's probably what I would do.
If you're in Hawaii and you're like in a nuclear launch zone or a nuclear landing zone, throw on the sunglasses, bro.
Yeah. Just go ahead.
You're not riding it out.
Yeah, just take it. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
Right?
You don't have a shelter.
No.
You're not going to be safe from that. Mm-mm.
Like, if all of a sudden, you know, they always talk about, like, the, you know, if you're on the West Coast and the tsunami's going to, like, the big one when it comes, it's like, would I try to, outrun it? I'm like, where am I going to go?
Yeah, there's nowhere to run.
You know what I mean?
There's nowhere to run. Yeah, it was the nuclear, that would be terrifying.
Or if, like, you're in a big city, like, a nuclear missile is on the way. Get front row seats, bro.
Mm. Really? I think, like, big city, I may try to ride it out. I may try to find somewhere to go.
But I mean, if you don't have the capacity to, like, let's say you're in the suburbs. Let's say that Portland's targeted and you're in Beaverton and it's a 75-mile radius that the thing's going to take out. It's like, well,
where would I go? Where would I go? Where would I go? Nobody has basements around here.
Nope.
That makes it tough.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it tough, man. I don't know what I would do.
There's plenty of people that are like preppers that have like storage zones, but not like basements.
Yeah, you ain't when that thing just goes, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you're kind of cooked.
All right, well, happy lunch, everybody. You know?
Nuclear fallout, yeah. It's good times. No? You know what can cool you off from a nuclear fallout? A nice ice bath.
Ooh.
It's another unhinged story from the Book of Harbaugh from one of his players. We'll get to that and more here on a little fun with audio here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Down on the stereo. Jim Harbaugh's insane.
No way.
Absolutely, totally crazy.
What would lead you to believe that?
I love guys who like football. Guys who like football, they like me back.
The milk-drinking, khaki-wearing monster.
Mm-hmm.
Who we love. That's to be fair. Well, one of his players has unearthed or announced to the world that he's also does something that's just absolutely crazy by hopping on with Chris Long on the Greenlight podcast. Joey Bosa unearthed or unveiled this new little tidbit about the crazy Chargers overlord.
Have you been to his RV yet?
I haven't even heard of the mobile home.
What, dude? Bro, he was living in a damn RV all summer.
Yeah, that's right in line with everything else he's done so far, so I believe it. I don't know why this is relatable, but now he's been hitting the cold tub and he just gets in full outfit.
No!
Shirt still tucked in.
No!
And he's just sitting there. Just sitting there. He's like, hey.
No, does he have khakis in the damn cold tub?
Belt, khakis. I'm sorry, coach. I'm like, coach, do those khakis, they keep a little insulation, keep a little warmth in there?
Oh, bro, yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of counterintuitive. You'd think a football guy like him would be like, I want to feel the cold.
Butt naked.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's, you almost feel like there's a little bit of disdain there because where did Bosa go to school?
Ohio State.
Mm.
Yeah.
You can feel it in his voice, right?
Now, this is not new news to me.
Mm. You knew this?
Yes.
Oh.
Because this isn't a one-off that Harbaugh does just to be
weird,
cheeky and fun.
Like he does this?
No. Remember, during the draft process, Josh Wallace, who played for Michigan last year, he told the exact same story.
I don't remember this.
Harbaugh does this in like regularly.
Do you think he's a one and done guy with his clothes?
He will go in. No, he doesn't.
So he's getting in the cold tub with these clothes.
Yeah.
And changing, but not.
No, and then he just strips down, puts on new khakis, and like he'll go socks, shirt,
no
sweatshirt,
shoes,
like whistle. He just walks in off the practice field, and as everybody else going through the cold tub, boom, right there with my guys. This is something Harbaugh does regularly.
Doesn't hop in there with the tighty whities, huh?
They're under there.
I mean, there's
no doubt in my mind. Jim Harbaugh is a tighty whities man.
BVD.
There is
100%.
He does not wear boxers. He does not wear boxer briefs.
No.
He does not go commando. He is whitey. If anything else, he wears a jock strap.
Yeah.
Like that is what Jim Harbaugh is, whitey tighties or jock strap. Mm. There is no middle ground.
No.
He gets them from Costco, probably cycles through them like regularly.
Mm, one and done.
Yeah. He doesn't let the funk happen in him. He recycles them out regularly. He is a whitey tighties guy through and through. And he hops in his khakis and then just throws them into like team laundry.
Do you think he thinks it makes it worse by being in his clothes? Like it's like the cold is like staying on him, opposite to the insulation theory.
Ooh.
But it's like it actually makes it colder.
Maybe. Or he's just like, he sees the guy. So if you don't know, after practice, this is what happens. Like guys will, you take your pads off, and usually teams now will take their pads off and like they strip down the jersey. Like the bin is out there, like almost on the practice field. So you have like your base layer underneath it because they have to get all the catapult stuff, all the tracking technology off of players. So they do that on the field. And so what they'll do is you'll go straight to a lot of the big schools will have like a long cold tub that they walk through it. And it's probably like 25 yards long. And they walk through the cold tub all the way down. And then you do that in your practice pants or your base layer. So you'll just walk right through right there, right when you get done off the practice field. You'll see it at some schools that if they don't have the walkthrough tub, they just have the big blue, like above ground swimming pools, mm-hmm. and they just hop right in them afterwards. You do that in the base layer of your practice gear. So you either wear your practice pants in there or you wear like your compression
your
shorts.
Nike Combat.
And
shorts,
your compression undershirt, and mm-hmm. you just hop in. Harbaugh looks at it. This is why I'm getting inside the mind of Harbaugh.
Mm.
Well, my guys do it in the stuff they're practicing, and I'm going to do it in the stuff I practice in, which is his khakis, his polo, and his sweatshirt. And he just hops right in there. Just gets after. He's just one of the guys. You want to talk about a guy holding on to it?
Mm.
If Jim Harbaugh wasn't Jim Harbaugh, he would be Uncle Rico.
Throwing that football over that there mountain?
Yeah. Like, he would not be able. He would be the guy playing the semi-pro football at like 37 years old.
Did you see the 37U?
Yeah, dude, that is one of my favorite videos of all time.
Oh my God, I just came across it for the first time last night.
That is, so if
that
you don't
is a
know,
bunch of humans who do not like their bodies.
That's what semi-pro football is.
Holy crap.
These guys are just adults just wanting to play ball still.
Just
and they
the
just
ACLs that are being sacrificed on a not a game basis, on a per play basis.
Yeah.
Like, they are just offering them up to the football gods in mass.
Yeah, it's not great.
Every single play, there is somebody down on the ground, and somebody's coming to crawl, like, drag somebody out. And I'm like, what the hell is happening here?
And they're paying money to do that.
To do this.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's crazy. Now, there are a couple guys out there, though, that are, like, look like former D1 guys. And then there's guys that are almost as bad off as me. And I'm going, oh, no, 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 sweetheart.
It ain't good.
Don't do this.
It's not good
like
at
you,
all.
This is going to, like, you're going to suffer for the rest of your life for this.
Yeah.
The glory is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go.
Let it go, man.
Let it go. Like, look, I jokingly, when I was watching, I told my wife, like, you know what? I started running last week. I could get back there. I could full back this up a few more times, straight line.
Mm-mm.
We could be good.
No, you couldn't.
We could be good.
Mm-mm.
She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm kidding. Mm-mm. I would Mm-mm. never.
Was this before or after you told her she had a mustache?
Oh, this is before.
Okay.
Yeah. To be fair, when I made the mustache joke, she was making fun of my hair and my
perfect
billy goat beard.
Here's an interesting text on the Vancouver Ford text line. Does Harbaugh get dress socks first, you think? No. No.
Start the ball. There's a process. Yeah. Whatever it is, there's a process, and he does not deviate.
They are second. It is second.
He drawers first?
Yeah. He goes whitey tidies, and then he probably just plants himself on the side of the bed, and there's like a...
You know, I'm a socks last guy.
After everything?
Socks, then shoes. That is the final process, yeah.
Mm.
Socks are always the last clothing element I put on.
Yeah.
I like to feel grounded.
They're second. I think there is a checklist Harbaugh goes through.
I don't like to walk around on socks. I have hardwood floors. And I always feel unsafe.
Oh, no, I don't. No, I don't do barefoot on the hardwood floors.
Oh, I do.
Don't like it.
See, I like that feeling.
Don't like it. I think what he does, Harbaugh goes, when he gets dressed in the morning, it is whitey tidies first, whistle second, socks third.
Just going full risky business, sliding around the house with a whistle on?
Yeah, yeah. Socks third, and then under t-shirt and then pants. I bet there's an element where, like, there's a real good chance that you walk into the Harbaugh house and he is wearing a shirt, whitey tidies, and socks. Because here's my theory. His undershirt, he tucks into the whitey tidies.
Oh yeah.
And so he's going because it's common practice, right? So he's going calf high socks, whitey tighties, and a white t-shirt, and with a whistle on. I do believe he's
wearing
a whistle.
Slides into the kitchen and just grabs a bowl of milk with no cereal.
Yeah, and he's just drinking straight out of the gallon of milk. And I think you see that probably regularly in the Harbaugh home.
Still with the shades and the Chargers hat on too?
No, I don't think he puts it. The hat is the last thing on.
Gotcha.
He goes pants, then he'll put on his polo, then his sweatshirt, and then as he's walking out the door, he flips the hat on, because that's probably what his dad Jack did. You know? He's a man, but there is a routine. I think I've nailed it. This sounds very Harbaugh, and I want to get inside the mind of Jim Harbaugh. It's going to be a scary place, but I want to tap into that. I want to tap into that a little bit. Golly. God bless Jim Harbaugh.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. Ooh, we have one that this could be in play too. Sock, shirt, whistle drawers. Well, that'd be a move.
Just out here Winnie the Poohing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you go, here's another one. Mm. This one is, does Harbaugh go sock, sock, shoe, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
I
think he's socks.
Socks first, then shoes. I cannot do the because what if you have to get up and get something?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I believe the discipline of the Harbaugh household is you don't wear shoes in the house too. I think that.
So it's the very last thing you do.
Yeah. It's shoes, then the hat. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say we might be underestimating exactly how psycho Jim Harbaugh is, and he might go sock, shoe, sock, shoe.
Is he a hat off inside guy in the house?
Only if it's a Stetson.
No. In the house, yeah, because it goes off right when he walks in the door, I think. Yeah. I think it goes off right when he walks in the door.
I am a hat all the time human, except for in my house.
Yeah.
One of the first things I do when I walk in the house, empty my pockets, and I've got a little hat stand.
Yeah, no.
Hat goes on stand. Mm-mm.
Do you go sock, sock, shoe, shoe, or do you go sock, shoe? Because you said you are last.
Yes, socks, then shoes.
Okay, yeah. All right, so you're not a complete psychopath.
Yeah, no.
All right, good.
Or you can be like me today and go, no socks.
I can't see that.
Slides, baby. Yep.
All right.
Not Crocs, just the slides.
Just the slides.
Coming up next, hour number three here. Historic day in baseball. Shohei Ohtani has maybe the greatest game ever played. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.